You are listening to the Revive Church Podcast. We pray that this sermon blesses you and enhances your walk with God. Feel free to come worship with us on a Sunday morning, or you can learn more about us online at revivechurch.org.
I'm glad to be back. I think it's been at least 4 weeks, maybe a month, since I've been back due to work and family stuff. Haley not feeling so well the last 2 weeks of her pregnancy. Hoping the baby comes soon. That'd be awesome. As a disclaimer, as a young 25-year-old and growing up in a world of technology and everything is technology-based, probably forgetting how to even pick up a pen and pencil and writing, during my preparation for the sermon, everything was done on my computer because then I was going to be fancy and bring up my iPad right here and read through my notes and then print out little pamphlets because I'm a very visual person. Last night, doing the last final touches on it, click save, once I'm completed with it, not halfway through, not three-quarters of the way through, but wait to the end, click save, the little thinking dot comes up there, and I'm thinking, okay, it's going to save, I'm going to go to bed. Wake up this morning, my computer's off, it's not a laptop, so it shouldn't just turn off by itself, power it back on, everything's gone besides the title, Uncommon Gratitude. So there's my sermon notes lost somewhere in Apple land, iCloud land, somewhere out there. But besides that being said, I'm not someone that really typically goes off of notes too much anyways. And not hopefully, but knowing God will speak through me and his message will come through today. We're talking about stewardship. In the last 2 weeks of a four-week series, we've talked about the gratitude of stewardship and what that means. Stephen led us off by defining what stewardship is. It's how we handle God's finances that he gives us. Not the finances in a numerical value, but the gifts that he gives us, the opportunities that he gives us, the fact that we can eat, breathe, and live in a community, and he's blessed us with that, and how we're going to deal with that as a Christian, how we act like that, being stewards of the things and items that God gives us. Last week, Russ spoke about it's a change of heart. You can't go to a non-believer and say, hey, you're supposed to give 10% of your income to the church, and you're supposed to give your time back to the church, and you're supposed to dedicate things and resources that God gives you and give it back to save more people. You tell a non-believer that, they'll be like, you're crazy, that's all mine. Rightfully so. We live in a society where people that want to obtain something, they do it for their own self-worth. They do it because they want to obtain that. If I want to buy a boat, a 26-foot power boat, one day, I will do anything in my means to achieve that. If it means financing some loan in some like 50-year term so I can afford a small monthly payment and I'm taking all my income, 100% of what I'm making, and I'm doing that, well, I got what I wanted. If I want to achieve a certain promotion or a status or a social status, you do what you have to do to reach that. You tell a non-believer that that's what they do. That's what it is in the world. You keep on gathering more and more resources. Well, I need to save for retirement. I need more things. I need to have fun. I'm bored right now. I need to gather and do more things. But when you have that change of heart, your priorities are supposed to change. Your heart is no longer in the same place as it was before. It's different. Your priorities are different. You're now prioritizing with God being the center, with God's purpose and what God wants as the center. The passage that I've chosen today is Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. If we can turn our Bibles there, I'll give everyone a moment, or if it's going to pop up on the screen. So Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents. Side note, talents is not like a circus, it's a day's wages. When I first read through it, I made the mistake thinking it was talents, and I had to look a little more deeper. It's a day's wage. So your day's wage. So the master gave his servants 5 talents. To another he gave 2 talents, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who received the 5 talents went at once and traded them and made 5 more talents. So also he had 2 talents, and then he made 2 more. But he who had received 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents, and here I have made 5 more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little, and I will set you over much. Enter into joy of your master. And he who had also had the 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, delivered to me 2 talents, and here I have made 2 more. And his master said to you, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid. I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But the master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant. You know what I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have scattered no seed? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has will be given, and he will have an abundance. But for the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant out into the outer darkness, in the place where the weeping and gnashing of teeth. This applies to our stewardship over God's resources that he blesses us with. The gifts that he gives us, the spiritual gifts, the opportunities, the jobs, everything that we explained the 2 weeks prior, God has given to us, and what are we going to do and how are we going to act with those, with that ability, knowing what God has given us. In this parable about the talents, you have the master giving his servants a set of day wages, giving 1 5, giving 1 2, and giving 1 1. God gifts us, each and every one of us, a different set of gifts. He may set and gift you with just 1 or 2 spiritual gifts. He may set you at a job or a career where you make a set amount of money. And then he can bless and give to us a different amount of money. He can give them a different set, an amount of gifts based on that person. And as you see, the one that had the five talents, he waited and made 5 more. He made more, but he got the same reward. He was given the same reward by his master as the one that received 2 and made 4 talents. It's not about how much we can give back, because you cannot earn your salvation. Because you make $100,000 a year and you give $90,000 of it, doesn't mean you're more worthy than the person that gives 100% of their salary and they only make $100 a week. It doesn't matter that you have this plethora of knowledge about the Bible and you share that knowledge, but I only share it on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. The other 5 days, those are just my days. It's how you're using God's time and his resources and giving everything that he calls back to him. And I think in Revive, we're at a unique place. If you've been with us since the beginning and you've seen the changes that we've gone through, you've seen our ups and our downs and where we've been at the last year, we're in a very unique place. A very unique place. For the last probably 4 or 5 years, don't quote me on that, for a long time, we haven't had any paid positions at Revive. Not one person at Revive has been on a salary. So all the money that we've been giving in tithes and offerings and donations, we've been allowed to take that and give back to his community. We have this property here where we outrightfully own and don't have to pay somebody. We have a property in Glendora where we have Mercy Gate, where we have the ability to feed the 150 families weekly that are in poverty, that are in need, because God has blessed us with that. God has blessed us with so much as a church body, what He's blessed us with, and how we in turn take that and how we're going to apply it to serve His community, to serve His people, to serve the people outside these four walls and to serve us inside. But it takes us and our heart change, our understanding, and not taking that for granted, not taking for, well, you know what? Church is doing good right now. I'm liking how it's feeling. It's a small, cozy group. That's good enough for me. We don't pay anybody, so really finances aren't really a problem. I can sit here in a seat and listen to someone preach on a Sunday. I can come here on a Wednesday and hear someone at a Bible study, and I can sit here and be a number. Well, God's blessed me with a church that doesn't have to pay a one pastor or pay a staff. So I don't have to give as much because there's no financial overhead at the church to keep it moving. I can just be a number, I can be a seat, I can be a pew, I can be whatever. You can be a body in a seat. And there's some that are content with being like that. There's people that are content with being a number in a seat. And for me, it bothers me. Because I can see what God has given us, the opportunities that we have as a church to move forward and spearhead a spiritually dead zone in the Claremont, Pomona, Laverne, Upland area, knowing what we have to do, but not having the people behind it to push forward and those gifts that God has given us, actually use them. Actually use the gifts that God has given us. God doesn't call for us to come here on a Sunday and sit in a chair and listen to God's word and then call it quits. And that's all I'm going to do. He calls it give back. Make disciples of all nations. Give back. Use what He has blessed you with. Use what He has given you. You see these examples of these two servants right here, one with the five talents, the one with the two talents. They took that and they immediately went out and they made more than what was given to them. That's us. What we've been given will be given more than enough, and taking that and going out and reaching the lost souls, making the Bible studies larger. Making a Bible study that's not just on Wednesdays, but Monday through Friday, because we have the opportunity to do that. We have a building, we have a place, we have the resources to make that happen, to have those outreach groups. We have the ability to have the outreach group on Holt Street to reach the day workers there and to reach the homeless just south of where we're at. We can do that because we have the means to do that. But are we willing to do that and putting our own person, if we're free and available, in that ministry to actually do that? Or is our time more important to us? Or is our time and our money and what God has blessed us with more important to us that we'd rather sit back and do nothing with it? When I'm off of work, I enjoy sitting on the couch. Preferably laying on the couch. Haley can attest to that. I did it all day yesterday. I was watching my son Killian from a distance. I'm like, oh, he's fine. If he falls and hurts himself, he'll learn not to climb up the little ladder again. And then she'll yell at me, go get him. Put the ladder away. And I would drag myself off the couch and do that. I like being lazy on my days off. I work long hours. But I'm also blessed with a lot of days off. So it becomes a problem that when I put my hard days in, I can have a recovery period of time, but when I have my stretch of days off, where it can go from anywhere from 3 days to 8 days off in a row, I can get caught up to, now I'm an eight-day couch potato. And when Haley's away at her work, I'm sitting on the couch doing nothing, but watching TV and watching Killian, or maybe doing what I want to do and going to the gym. and not clean up the dishes that I obviously see that are on the counter, because I still think that, you know, there's like a little fairy that comes in and will clean the dishes for me, or vacuuming, those small little things growing up that I didn't even do growing up, because I have a problem with being lazy on my days off, and I justify myself being lazy on my days off because I put in 12 to 16 hour days when I actually work, and I sit in 2 hours of traffic on a freeway going the same direction. Everyone going the same direction, we're seeing 2 hours only to go 30 miles, and I say, you know what, I did all that. I worked 60 hours in the last 3 days or 4 days. I deserve to be a lazy couch potato. And the flesh of me uses that to allow me or to overcome me to be the lazy couch potato for my days off, which then upsets Haley. And beyond that, it's not using what God has given me, that free time, a career where I have that free amount of time to give back to the church, to give back to the community. I attend the Bible studies on Wednesday when I can. I attend on Sunday, and I can come here throughout the week when I can. But I know that I can give more. I know that I can give more of my time back to the church. It's because God has blessed me with the ability to do that, and I have to make the choice and decision, am I going to do that? Am I going to be the servant here that's been given the 5 talents? Am I going to hide and bury those? Am I going to hide on the couch and sit on the couch and do nothing because I deserve it? I earned it. I earned that alone time. I earned the ability to sit on my butt for that amount of time. I don't need to do anything besides what I'm required to do, and that's to show up to work and be on time, to show up on church and be on time on Sunday, to show up and be on time on Wednesday. We're not required that set schedule. We are not entitled to have that lifestyle. We're not entitled. It's not something you can sit back and, why work, work, work? I don't need to work anymore. You need to give back to your church. You need to give to the church that you are a part of. Because this very church that I give back to, that I now help lead this church, this group body, has given so much more than me. Given so much more to me. It has given back to me by people pouring themselves into my life. People being there when I needed to call somebody because I was going through a problem. There's people in this church that I was able to turn to. And after that person, I picked up the phone and I called them and they said, hey, it's my day off, bro. I'm on the couch right now. You have to call me on Tuesdays and Thursdays between hours 4 and 5. I would have probably never gone back to you. I would have never come back. Because when you're in need, your church family needs to be there for you. When there's a need in the community, the church, the local church in that community needs to be there for the community. And if Revive has been at this location for 8 years, what have we done at this location for 8 years in this community? With no financial ties to anything, what have we given back as a church? We funded students in India for multiple years. We've gone on mission trips to Hungary. We've financed individuals. We've been able to bless individuals that have gone through hard times in our church. We have poured money into orphanages in Mexico. The list goes on and on what Revive has done for people in this community, for its members inside this church. But we've only been able to do that because what God has given us. Because what God has given us. But I can step back and I can look and I can see the people, they're 100%, and they're giving 100% of their time, and I can see it. I know how busy they are at work, and I know how busy they are on their days off, and how much they give of their time, how much God has blessed them with the spiritual gifts that they are given, and how they are using them for the church, how they're pouring their finances into the church. I can see that, but I can also see the people that sit back and they sit in the pews and they sit in the seats and they do nothing or they do the bare minimum. And it breaks my heart to see that. It's hard to see that for an amount of stuff that we could be doing beyond what we have already done. If you go through the list of things that Revive as a church has done, with, in my opinion, is receiving, you know, a minimum standard of work in the church, we've done a lot. We have done a lot of things with little effort put into it, given the size of our church. And how much more we can do, how much more we can do for the people inside here and the community outside of, if more people gave back to the church, if more people poured time in their time off, how much more we can do. Because I read this passage and I can understand the individual, the servant here that's given one talent and is so scared of that, that they hide and they bury it. Well, I don't want to lose it. I don't want to lose that money. What if I go and I make a bad choice and I make a bad decision, then I lose it all. Then my master's gonna flip a lid and he's gonna be super upset at me. But as Jesus, as our master, blessing us and giving to us these gifts, our finances, the relationships that we're in, he's giving us that, we don't take and hold on to it and say, mine. That's my son's, that's my Killian's, my son's favorite word is mine. Everything is mine. I'm like, no, that's my chocolate shake. You give that back to me. That is no mine. It's not his mine mentality when God gives us something. We don't go out there with an open hand saying, God, I need this. I want this. I'm struggling. I need help. And then he gives it to you and you hold on and you, okay, thank you. All right, you can go now. You gave me what I needed. I'm happy for the day. This is mine. But we take what he gives us with a continuous open hand. We have our hand open when he gives, because he'll give and he'll take away. He'll give you something in that moment. He'll give your church body a spiritual gift at that moment, because that's the need that the congregation, that's the need the congregation needs at that time. That's a financial need that you need to have at that time, and he'll bless you with that. But it doesn't mean it's yours. Doesn't mean it's yours for keepsies. You don't get to hold on to that because, well, it makes me feel good. I like having this. I like having this. I like feeling stable and I like all this. No, he'll take it away when you don't need it or when you misuse it. When you misuse his resources, when you take and you abuse what he has given to you. My biggest pet peeve is when I get something that I like and it gets scratched or dented. Like, even the microscopic gets scratched. You can ask Haley. I will park on the far end of a parking lot. And I don't care if you're pregnant, I'll drop you off in the front. I want to park at the far end of the parking lot because no one's going to park by me and give me a little door ding. I won't park under a tree because you get sap on the car or my phone. As much as I hate a case, I always keep a case on it because if it gets a little scratch, then that all I can see is this 1 millimeter scratch on the back. It's all I focus on is this 1 millimeter scratch. I like to take care of my things. So when I see something that's dented or scratched, it bothers and it upsets me. And then I can only focus on that until I fix it. I will tell everybody about it. I'll be sitting in traffic, I'll spend 2 hours about a scratch that I got somewhere, or my boot got scuffed, or I got a little tear on my pant, or anything. But how does God feel when we misuse his resources? When he has taken something that he has given to us, and we're like, eh, I'm just going to shove it in this little car spot right here. I don't care if a door gets wrapped off on it, and it just dings it. But Jesus is out of it and it turns into junk. I don't care. God gave it to me. It's like, whatever. I didn't really, you know. It's whatever about it. Well, if God's always going to provide for me, you know. So I can just spend my money frivolously because I know someone's going to be there to pick me up when I fall down. I can buy all the things that I want to buy. I can buy all the Starbucks that I want to buy throughout a week. I can buy the brand of clothes I want to buy, and who cares where my paycheck goes? Because, you know, I'm going to get another paycheck. Oh, no, I'll rack up all the credit card debt because I need to consume more and more and more, because you know what? God is always going to provide. God's not this ATM that's always going to provide. God is this ATM where he's always going to just give to you as you're misusing his resources constantly and constantly and constantly. He'll be there for you when you mess up and you screw up. He'll be there for you during your time period where you're acting like a fool and you're acting like a child. He'll be there for you walking up. He's acting weird. Hopefully he's gonna come off of this cycle that he's in. He's there to pick you up, but don't expect to continually being blessed with God's gifts if you're misusing them. Why is he going to give you nice things? Why is he going to bless you? Why is he going to continue blessing a church that misuses their finances, that misuses the abilities, and misuses the gifts that he has given that church? Why will he continue pouring his love into this if we're not using it appropriately, if we're taking advantage of it? And I think that's an issue that we've had the last 8-6 months. Time period with Revive is we have those people in here that give 100%. Like I said, they give all back, and then we have the people that have been part of us for a while that don't give back as much as I feel that they can give back. Like, I know you can give more. I know you can give more of your time. I know you can give more of yourself or whatever it may be. I know that God has poured a gift into you, and you're not using your gift. That's like Bruce saying, I'm not going to play the piano anymore, because that means I have to wake up at 8 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday, and I'm just not going to play the piano anymore. God's blessed him with amazing piano skills. And he saw the need in our church that we needed someone to lead worship. So he took that upon himself with a gift that God has poured into Bruce that he's found where he can give back to the church in this one aspect and play amazing piano for us every Sunday. But our people are sitting here knowing that they have a gift, or knowing that they have the financial means, or knowing that they have something that they can give back, and they're holding on to it and they're not giving it back. Are they the servant that took what God has given them and rather bury it deep inside themselves, bury it somewhere, and then when the time comes, say, "What I gave, you know what you gave me? I'll go bury it up, and here it is, I gave it back." You gave no benefit for it. If we took this gift of eternal life that God has given us, we take it on a personal, the gift of salvation, having that relationship with Christ, understanding we can't be sinful, all the whole thing of salvation, he's given us that eternal life, and we take that, we know what that means, we know it, we understand it, we feel it, we live it out, we know all the glory that comes with it, the ease at heart that we feel with it, the amazingness behind it, the generosity behind it, that gift that God gave us, and we don't even want to share it. We don't want to share God's love that he's given us. How selfish. How selfish of an individual is that person that doesn't want to go out and share God's love? That's going to deny God's love to someone else. It's going to deny that turning point in someone's life that can bring them salvation. Because you don't want to give. Well, I've given enough. It's not on my Sunday morning. It's not on my time schedule to give back. We are stewards of God. We are stewards to the things that he has given us. And how, as an individual, do we treat God's property? On an individual level, how are we treating God's property that he has chosen to give us? Are we the person that is shoving the car in a parking space that's way too small? Are we the person that's gracious and open with what God's given us. What, you need more? I'll give more. Someone's in need, how can I help them? I may not be in the best position to meet that person's every need, but I'll give whatever I can. I'll do whatever I can. You know what? I'm only free on Friday because I work every other day of the week. I can make it on Friday. You're going through a downtime. I'll on my free time, I'll help and I'll try to pick you up. What are we doing as a church? What are we doing as a person to help people, to give back to God's love? I know we can give back more. I know I can be less lazy on my days off and clean a dish. What more can we give back to God? Because we do it out of the change of heart and we do it for the joy that it brings our Creator, the joy that it brings back to Jesus, knowing that we are joyfully giving back to Him what He has blessed us with. Because it's not ours. Stephen touched on it. Russ has touched on it. It's not ours for the keepsies. We don't hold on to it. How much more can we give back when we pour ourselves in 100%? In 1 Peter 4:10, as each has received a gift, use to serve one another as a good steward of God's very grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. As each has received a gift, used to serve one another. We've each received things by God. We received this gift by God to serve one another, to serve and give back to our church, to serve and give back to our community, to serve our brothers and sisters of the world, to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. We're being responsible with what God's given us. Whoever speaks as one speaks with the oracles of God. Whoever serves as one serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. If we think that we have this amazing speaking power, and you're not going out and sharing God's word with it, with your ability to talk to people, what are we doing? I laid it out earlier, all the things that we've done as Revive since our start, all the blessings that we've been given with this church, everything that we've done, you put on a resume, you look at everything that we've done, and we've done it with a minimal standard of support. How much more can we do as a church? How many more people can we fill in these seats on a Sunday and Wednesday? How many more people can we reach and share God's love if everyone here did more than what they're doing right now? If everyone here sitting down did more than what they did last week, how awesome will that be? How full will this church be? How much more of God's love will we share with people if we did more? We should never settle and say, this is the standard. This is it. This is what everything's about. This is what church is, and I'm happy with it. We shouldn't settle for where we are at, because we can always grow closer to God. Our individual walk with Him, we are always growing and learning new things and growing closer to God. And as a church, we can always do more. As a person, we can always do more. Never settle with, I know everything. Because you can do more. As we take communion and we sing our last three songs and worship God together, I want you to look inside your hearts and how much more can you do? How much more can you do this week that you did more than you did last week? Even if it's one thing, what can we do more? Every week we take communion. I'll be standing in the back if anyone has a question or want prayer. Lord, I just pray that we can look at our hearts this week. We have a self-examination over how we are using the resources that you've blessed us with. The areas in our heart where we're hard-hearted, the places that we are misusing your funds, where we are not being proper stewards of your gifts. I just pray that you can break down those walls. You can give us a self-realization of how we should be, how we should act as Christians, and give us that opportunity to take one step forward and do one more thing than we did last week for your church. In your name, amen.